next project that got your attention to do it?
For me personally, Peter had seen my work on Justified. And he had contacted, I guess he'd sampled my character from the show, and Anna and Sam had already been cast, and they were looking for Nash, and the voice seemed to hit, and when he called me up, and I was like, how did you find Danny Crowe, who's a murder sociopath, to be in a kid's movie and draw this sort of thing? But, you know, the quality of Danny, the texture in that character's voice seemed to fit nicely with the family.
Fortunately, I didn't have such a cool story as him where he got offered the role. I had audition, you know, like every other average actor. Not Mr. Cool Guy over here. But, yeah, so I got the audition, and I sent it in, and I got a call back 3 months later. And, you know, the whole process of booking a movie. But it was an interesting process because there was a lot of kids, like 1,400 that auditioned for this. So to be the one that was chosen is amazing. So, hey. Now I get to work with this guy, so, hey.
Now, most kids are either robot kids or dinosaur kids. Were you an actual dinosaur kid, or were you more of a robot kid?
I was a dinosaur kid. I really was. Originally, I was fascinated with T-Rexes, though. So now, you know, after getting the audition for being a Apatosaurus, I had to research them, and then, you know, I got more interested in the Apatosaurus rather than a T-Rex. Would it be cool to be a T-Rex? Of course it would be. Because, you know, you think dinosaurs, and that's kind of one of the first ones you think of. You only think of an Apatosaurus, but they're very fascinating creatures. So, hey, now I'm fascinated with them.
Did you ever see The Land Before Time?
That was before my time.
That was probably one of my favorite movies growing up. Yeah, it was such a, you know, you think of animated movies as a kid, dinosaur, or the Land Before Time, it like pops. That would be your go-to.
Would you say that maybe it influenced you in some way?
In what sense?
In it's an animated movie.
Yeah, I mean, I, as a kid and even now, I'm a huge, I love all animated movies. I'm just obsessed with them. And just, you know, this is definitely a dream come true to get to say I got to work with Pixar.
Is this your first animated film?
No, I've done a couple other ones. Did Happy Feet and a couple other cartoons and stuff. But this is, you know, Pixar is Pixar because of their ability to have these larger-than-life characters and tell such human stories that you have this emotional connection to. And I think that's the quality, that you're always drawn to these sort of fictional characters, but yet you walk away with some sort of emotional impact. So,
can you talk about the actual process of working with Pixar? So once you've been cast and now, like, how are you going to record, and how much influence as actors do you have over your performance, dialogue, the look of the character? How involved are the actors with Pixar to create that?
Pete, the director, he's the main reason why the whole filming process was so easy for me. But, you know, on the callback, the first callback, not the audition. The audition was all me, research, Apatosaurus, what I thought. But the original, after I got the callback, I got to see the image of him, the friendliness of him, and all the idea and background behind it. So, and then, of course, Pete, he gives you the background behind the whole entire character. He's not even a character that exists yet, but he knows his fears. He knows, you know, his favorite things in the world, like everything about Arlo. So he made it so easy to bring a character to life. So I think the main reason working with Pete is why it's the good dinosaur, and that's why it's
there. Yeah, to echo what you said there, I really feel like when you go into a voiceover booth, it's you and the mic, and you've seen limited storyboards. I didn't even really know what else was going on in the movie, just other than the sort of verbal pitch. So it was really up to Peter to create this sort of imaginary world. And funny, it was like that. I was describing it once as, you know, that scene in Hook where the Lost Boys are like, and they start playing to bring his imagination back, and then there's no food, and then all of a sudden there's food there. Mm-hmm. So his passion in that thing was this sort of childlike wonder of like, this is the world, and you're like, oh, and then you walk into the booth and you become part of this world. So to see the finished product and to never have had words with other actors, but yet all our, the intonations and our comedic beats and all the different things that happened during the film was so surreal. Like, I mean, that is an art form in itself.
I kind of want to continue. It's a good question. I like this one. Pete was, he had a vision. That's the thing about Pete. He knew exactly what he wanted. He knew the storyline about everything. So when you would go in, he would basically tell you what the scenery was. It's not there, but he would be like, you know, it's storm is coming down, your father just passed, or something like that. And he had the entire realm set for you where you could literally just say the words and it would make sense because the mindset was already there.
I was going to say, when we're in the music room, I referenced a scene in the movie that is similar to The Lion King where you know, Mufasa passes. In a similar situation, you had to act out in that scene. Did you see The Lion King? You're not too young
for that one? Of course. That's probably one of my all-time favorite movies.
Did you feel you had to, in whether subconsciously or rather conscious, to that scene where he loses his father?
Well, of course, but I mean, like, people reference The Lion King a lot, but it's not only Lion King where there's a family member passing. It's Mufasa, of course, that's a strong movie, probably one of the animation's best movies. But there's a lot of movies where the parents die, so of course I kind of took all that information in from all the movies that I've seen with that, such as, you know, even Nemo, when the mom dies, that's get eaten by the, I can't remember what creature it was. But, you know, she dies, so you kind of bring in all that information, and I just use that to bring out the character of when Papa is separated from Arlo.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do you have anything in common with your character?
I'm pretty aloof. Easy going, yeah.
Arlo, he's a fear. He has a lot of fears. I don't really have a lot of fears, but I've one of my strongest fears is roller coasters. I hate roller coasters. So, yeah, what kid doesn't like a roller coaster? This one. Mm-hmm. But I'm terrified of them, so I'm trying to overcome them like Arlo does. So that I can see the similarity of I'm more of the beginning set of Arlo before he, you know, evolves into what he is at the later of the movie, at the end of the movie. But, yeah, that's just our roller coasters. That's the thing that scares me. It's the fear.
Were you guys ever in the booth together?
No, we met.
I met you at the booth, coming out of the booth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I met you and Steve.
Yeah.
That's the only time I met Steve too.
Yeah, that's right. On our last, that was the pickup day. Yeah,
pickup day.
But no, it was all sort of
going once.
Yeah, one because I think everyone's schedules were just so, and it's such a, you know, it's what 4 years Pete's been working on this,
yeah.
So it's like we're coming in at, you know. But very when they build the animation, then
Jeffrey said it best. He even says, you know, there's so much work that's put into it, and the last step is, you know, the people who provide the breath to the voices. You know, the animators create them and all these different things, and then the final step is us, where we kind of just throw the breath into it. So we came at the final step.
Yeah.
So,
Have you worked on animated projects? You said you worked on other animated films.
Yeah.
Have you worked on animated projects where they have all the actors together
On Happy Feet? We were in there, all kind of bouncing off each other.
Can you compare the two processes?
Completely
who you prefer
different
as an actor.
Completely. I think they stand alone. And I think at the time in my life, I didn't really realize that I was doing Happy Feet. I kind of didn't connect the dots. And it just was, you know, I just knew it was gay. Like, it was just, because it was so early on in the process of it. And then, like, it was like 3 years later.
You must have recognized George Miller.
Of course. No, I was, of course. No. But I knew it was a big deal. But it just wasn't, I was like 22 years old. And I kind of just, I didn't have, you know, that sort of, I just didn't. It
didn't mean anything.
Not that it didn't mean anything. I just wasn't in the right headspace to appreciate it as much as and take the time to go, wow, look at this. I just was, you know, I just moved to LA. I was chasing girls. I was like, that's completely distracted. So, you know, as you get a little older,
I'm gonna give you an under the table high five.
Yeah. But, you know, you and now having, you know, a daughter and being really connected to this story of, and I was incredibly connected. Had an amazing relationship with my father. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. So this film with this, when Peter told me this, I was like, oh man! And then actually seeing that moment, it still gets me choked up even talking about it. Like,
but
you know,
the process of acting alone, essentially, was not a daunting. I would imagine that as an actor who's used to this thing and working off another actor, that could be his experience.
I think it definitely was. But again, Peter is reading the lines opposite you, and he's so invested and so present in what you're giving that your the rhythm's there.
He's performing.
Yeah, he's performing and giving you the beats that you need to sell the joke that he hears in his head.
Pete was playing Arlo's spot.
Yeah.
Every character that wasn't there, he was them.
Yeah.
But I could definitely say that there's a difference. I do a lot of loop groups as well as, you know, that's in loop groups, all that is ADR with a bunch of other kids. And that's what it is. And then, you know, I've also done projects where with other kids where you're working, and it's a total different experience from just being there. But like at the same time, it's also the same thing because it's not 40 kids in the same room. Basically, there's 40 characters within Pete, basically feeding you all the lines. So they're all present.
Yeah.
They're not 40 kids. Right. But it's all the characters that need to be make it easy for you. So it's not like it's just you and the mic. It's you, yourself, and Pete.
What was fascinating to me too is like when you do a film and you're 50-day shoot, and you bond with these actors, and these beats are created on set and organically, and you have these moments and they're tangible, and you know, okay, are they going to use this take? Are they going to use that take? That was great when that person had. What was so different on this was. Especially with the T-Rexes, because they added such a comedic point between Ramsey and Nash, I never heard Anna's voice and never saw Anna. So Peter could tell and her track was already laid, but he could tell the way I was delivering if the joke was going to sell. So it was a real, when I saw it, I was like, how did he do that? Like, he heard the conversation in his head and gave the right intonations of the voice in order for the joke to actually play.
Did he ever play it back with, like, himself, though, where he would say the line, he would play it back?
No. When
he would say, like, Pete had this weird thing, because, like I said, he has a vision. So he would play, he would say the same line, like the previous line, like for instance, Nash's line, or Butch, or whatever it is, or Ramsey, and they would say it, and then he would kind of play back mine right after, and he'd be like, yeah. Or he would say no. Like, he knew it, so, and it just came out right.
Yeah, did a lot. I'm blown away by the guy. Yeah.
Now, how much of your mannerisms and idiosyncrasies were animated into the characters, that whether your parents or your spouse sat there and, you know, were nudging you throughout the film and go, yeah, you do that in real life as well?
For me, with how we got back to the voice and got into Nash was the first time we got up onto the mic, Peter was like, just do Danny Crow, I love that quality. So when I was shooting Justified, I was chewing the entire time, chewing tobacco. And my mouth was kind of full with, my lip was full with stuff. So I was looking around the office, and there was a bowl of Jolly Ranchers. I was like, can I stick? My mouth was kind of in a certain way for Danny. So and once I put the Jolly Ranchers in.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I just want to let that
know. Yeah. And then he came out. So I did all of Nash stuffed with Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah. They missed that product placement.
I know, right?
Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, it's one thing to do the dialogue scenes, it's quite another. I mean, you guys, both of your characters had big action scenes, and it's one thing to, okay, you've just been hit by a raptor, make this noise. You've just, you know, you're falling off a cliff, make that noise. And it's just, that's different than, this is the piece of dialogue you know, the character you're interacting with. That's got to be kind of weird to be in a booth and, okay, I'm falling down now.
Hats off to this guy. I mean, he had the biggest challenge of continually, you know, doing such a great job at creating these sounds and a lot more exotic. Look, I was just in and out. You were at this a lot, like just could continually be, you know, going through that character. So it's that.
Because Arlo gets whaled on it.
Arlo has a lot of different voices to him, but I think the thing that made it easy for me is that I'm the type of guy, when I do a voiceover, I'll do a line and I'll do it like, say, three different ways. So, you know, they can have it rather than just one cut. It was multiple times. So when I would scream, I would do like, you know, three different screams, and then they would kind of just place them into the right places. And if it didn't work, then they'd be like, okay, we need to do another scream. But unfortunately, there was 99% of the times I did something that kind of had three spots. But, you know, if Pete said, you know, wouldn't work, I would be like, okay, let's do it again. And I'll do three different more. And three more different? I don't know. Don't take my word right now.
Did you guys see the finished product before the premiere?
We saw it at a screening over at Disney. They brought us over to
it. What were your initial reactions?
I was a blubbering mess, especially the scene with the dad. And Arlo, where he comes back and thing, because again, like I said, I was so close to my father, and losing him, and that, you know, my dad really instilling to me in a sense of my father would always say, be proud of the work that you've done. So the making your mark, sort of, there was a real personal connection to this story and what I saw it in this.
Going back to your question, what was your question?
Mine was, how much of your facial expressions and mannerisms were incorporated into
that's
the animation?
Okay. So when I was doing my thing, I kind of related my entire life to this one character. So, you know, all things that have happened throughout my life, like, you know, my dog passed. So 99% of the filming involved me thinking of him, crying in the booth, yelling for mom. All that came from me thinking of my dog. So now leading to your question, which was...
When you lost the father figure in the movie.
The movie.
Yeah.
Seeing it for the first time.
Right.
I already read the entire script, like, a lot. Don't know the exact number, but when I was watching it, I kind of knew what was going to happen. So I did cry in the movie the first time I watched it, but I wasn't crying because, you know, what happened to Papa or that. I was crying because of excitement and joy. You know, this entire year-long process I've been doing this movie, it's finally come to the final step. And that's where it was just so many emotions running through my mind, where the result to me was just crying it out loud. So, it was fun, though, and it was definitely joy, and I still, every time I see it, now I can actually cry to the storyline because all the joy.
So what's it like to go to the Disney store and see your shelf?
What's it like?
As a dad, it's pretty cool, man. I got serious street cred in the playground. Yeah, and my daughter carries around, and yeah, it's like I'm Daddy the Dino, so Daddy Dino, so it's great.
I got brother points, that's for sure. I can say to my brothers, "Oh, well, were you in a Pixar movie?" And they can, "No." Yeah, so that's all that matters. So when I can walk into a store, like the Disney store, and just see that, I can be like, "Hey, who's that? Do they have a Lanny? Do they have a Lanny of you?" No, they don't.
Do you ever just go sign random merchandise and just walk
out? No. Oh, funny experience. Yesterday, I was in the Valentine's Day aisle. Don't ask me why. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. But there was this kid that passed by, and there's an Arlo card, and this kid's like, "Arlo from the Good Dinosaur." And me, I wanted to walk up to him and be like, you know, but the cool side of me, just, I kind of kept it cool. But it was really exciting for me. And it was like, wow, this is why I do this. Because, you know, there's those minor moments throughout your career where you can, you know, be like, yeah.
Your daughter is old enough to see the film?
She's seen parts. She's only two. She just turned two. Yeah. So I've only had like clips and stuff. But now with the Blu-ray coming out, I can sit there and sort of fast forward. So there's certain parts I think might scare her. But
has she been confused yet by Daddy's voice on the TV, or does she not even pick up?
I confuse her daily.
I'm like, "Daddy, why is that voice?"
Yeah. She's seen some other cartoons and stuff that I did, and she doesn't quite get it, but it's fun for me. I mean, this will definitely be the first movie that I can sit down with my daughter and watch with her.
You're not going to be showing her a season of Justified.
No. No.
I have a 4-year-old sister. So going back to you,
I remember she was at this.
I have
yeah.
the biggest points with my
yeah,
sister.
Yeah.
She used to make fun of me all the time. But all I have to say is, who is Arlo? She's the biggest Good Dinosaur fan.
It didn't confuse
ever.
Her. Like, she got the.
Oh, she knows everything. Okay. She can name Butch, Ranch. She has all the toys. She's the biggest. She has more stuff than I do. And I'm like, how does that even happen? Yeah.
But she gets the concept of like my brother's voice. That's real. That's
she,
my brother's voice.
Yeah, she's like. Ray Ray, that's you. Like, she'll call you. She's like, "Hey, Arlo." She won't even talk. She won't say, "Hey, Ray." She's like, "Hey, Arlo, how are you?" Like, you can have a full-on conversation with her about watching The Good Dinosaur. She even asked me a question the other day. She's like, "Raymond, I have a question. Why is Spot? Why don't Spot talk?" It's exactly what she said. I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. It was awesome. Hey, points over here.
How long was the process in the sound booth for you guys? Was it, you said a year. I heard a year, but was it an actual year you went back and forth, or was it just one session?
It was wasn't exactly like an entire year, like 365. It was probably about 14 times I would go up there. I went north to the and then, you know, finalizing at the final steps. You know, they just did it at the Disney studio because, you know, it's too much work to go on a plane. Plus, I hate planes. I didn't say that either. So I hate flying as well. So that wasn't fun up doing that. But, so they made it easier for me doing it at the Disney lot.
Yeah, for me, it was fairly quick. We went up to Pixar once, and then I had the pickup day in at Disney Studios, and that was pretty much it. Yeah.
Whoa, it was done forever.
You mentioned your daughter seeing parts of it. Mm-hmm. We'll see it again. It was actually I have a 2.5-year-old. It was almost 3 now. It was her very, very first movie.
Oh, nice.
So not necessarily making it overly personal, but I mean, there are a lot of kids like my daughter who this is their very first movie. Mm-hmm. And that first movie has such a special place in all of our hearts, especially as much as we all love movies. What does that mean to you, that you are in a movie that will forever serve as somebody's first movie?
It's a pretty surreal. Yeah, I mean, this journey that we have as actors and performers and stuff, and to meet people along the way that will say, "Man, that one thing that you did that was such an important part of my life," or a terrible movie you thought would never see the light of day that somebody saw, but for some reason they had a personal connection to. It's a humbling thing, and it's a great honor to be a part of something like this. And I would say with a film like this, this would be first in my career where everybody across the board that I've met said that they emotionally were affected by it. And that's a cool thing, to be a part of something that families sit down and watch, which is such a rare thing nowadays, just to say that you sit down with your family and watch a film, but to have it be impactful and actually feel something and maybe bring up discussions about death and maybe bring discussions about life and what's important to be a cohesive family. I mean, that's what, you know, it's a really special thing.
Whoa, Mom. Oh, that was a deep answer. Well, people bring up all the time about the Pixar legacy and being a part of it. Personally, my first movie was Monsters, Inc. And so, like I said, Pixar has a legacy. So, you know, being a part of that and people saying, you know, my first movie. Like, we had a screening at my house 3 days after the movie came out. And one of the kids, one of our friends, his son, it was his first movie ever. And I'm like, wow, that's really weird to be like, you know, my movie is, or the movie I'm in is the one that it was his first movie. So it's a weird feeling, but it's a great feeling at the same time, because I wouldn't want any other movie to be said like, hey, that's my movie. That's the one that...
Well, I also have the joy of hearing your voice in my house every day. So I hear you.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
He told me he used more or less his normal voice to make Arlo, and you said you had no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the most challenging, most difficult for you?
We learned that the roaring, that, you know, it's pretty tough to roar like a, because it kind of, the way that they mix it to, it kind of sounds like an elephant in there too. It's like, woo, like with a growl. So, you know, try and make a growling elephant sound. It's
your own voice.
Yeah, So I think that the roaring was definitely, every time on the sessions that I had, after we did the roar, my voice was...
There are two things that I cannot, like, do, and I don't know why. First off, I can't woohoo. I can't. Don't lie. It's not funny. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
That's why I'm laughing. Seriously?
It's really hard. I can't hit that.
I can't. Woo. Like, my brother's like, what are you talking about? I just woo. And I'm like, I don't want my voice to crack right now. It'd be funny.
Yeah.
So I can't do it. And then howling. I couldn't howl. Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to think, like, can I do it?
But yeah, I don't know. It's just something I couldn't do, and I had to do it so often. And I finally caught one that, like, was doable. It was just a doable one. It wasn't a great one. It was a doable one. And then the howling as well. It was, I can't howl either, so.
You could have traded for a yeehaw instead?
Nope. They're the ranchers, not us. But also the howl, it was some hard stuff to do those two things.
Awesome. We have time for one more question. What's next?
You mentioned that you were living the entourage lifestyle, and now that you're a father, it's a little more homey, I would say. Would you have any advice for a young actor coming into his own?
I actually did. On the night of the premiere, I talked to him.
Mm-hmm. Night of the premiere, he gave me like 15 minutes. It was 15 minutes of him just telling me advice. And it was probably the greatest. I keep that conversation very personal to me, because it was very, you know, successful actor over here. It's I keep it very personal, because it was a very bonding moment, just to be like, hey, you know, he was just giving me advice, just hey, it was kind of like one of those brother things, like, you know, your brother gives you advice throughout his life. He was kind of gave me kind of stuff what he learned throughout his entire years, and it was very good. It was not good. It was great. It was amazing.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Cool.
Do you guys mind posing next to the poster picture?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank